Choď obraz tvůj nedá srdci spát, proč obraz tvůj bláznivě mám rád. Láska má jediná dívko v modrém, si jen ty a zase ty a potom žádná víc. Tisíce žen okolo nás jdou, tisíce hvězd, které zapadnou, nad nimi zářími jen tvůj úsměv mám i víc.
Lida Barova was one of the most famous and successful Czech actresses to have ever lived. Her career spanned over 70 years, in the course of which she starred in a whole number of both Czech and German film classics. She even made it into Federico Fellini's I Vitelloni in 1953. But she's perhaps best known for her life off-screen, as one of Czech film's most unhappy characters. Lida Barova's beauty attracted the attention of Josef Goebbels, and her career, tragically for her, reached its peak in Nazi Germany shortly before World War II. Eva Urbanova is from the Czech Film Archive. She says that Lida Barova's career started in 1931, when Lida was still very young.
Lida Bárová byla především velice krásná žena, byla krásná.
Lida Bárová was quite simply a very beautiful woman. She was already beautiful as a young girl. She was extremely charismatic and had lots of what we call sex appeal today. So she couldn't fail to be noticed by the people making the movies. And she herself wanted to be an actress, so she went to the conservatory to study acting. But she didn't finish her studies, because when she was very young, when she was 17, she got an offer to star in a film. And it turned out that she wasn't just a pretty face, she was good at acting too. So she didn't go back to school, and it was here that her film career began.
To ložím vítima.
No proč ne? Leží si na něm docela pohodlně.
Co ty o pohodlí víš?
This is an extract from one of Barova's most famous films, Dívka v modrém, or Girl in Blue. In the movie, Barova plays a 17th century countess who gets brought back to life in 1930s Czechoslovakia. Here she is speaking in an antiquated sort of Czech. The dialogue, it's said, she wrote herself. Eva Urbanova says that this was quite a typical role for Barova.
Hrála samé mladé dívky, takové...
She played young girls especially, but it is true that in her beauty there was a sort of maturity and spirit, so that meant that she often ended up playing educated women, and playing them well, despite the fact that she wasn't all that educated herself. She really had lashings of charm and received a lot of offers from foreign studios. One that she turned down, which she regretted for the rest of her life, was from MGM. She always said afterwards that if she had taken it, she would have got out of Central Europe before World War II began and would have got out of the Czech-German surroundings that caused her so much misfortune and unhappiness.
Barova turned down MGM, but accepted an offer from Germany's UFA in 1935. According to her biographer Stanislav Motl, making it in Germany had long been the dream of most of the Czech acting world. But, as Eva Urbanova says, there were clouds gathering over Europe at the time she chose to go.
Dostala nabídku hrát v Německu.
She got an offer to go to Germany. This was before the Second World War, but after the Nazis had come to power. She wasn't starring in any political films, though. She continued to play beautiful young women in what were the blockbuster movies of the time. One of the most famous of her films from the period was Barcarolle, which Germans still watch today. And it was here that she had her first fateful encounter, which was with the actor Gustav Fröhlich. He was a massive star in German film at the time, and she became his lover.
Barova's beauty attracted the attention of some people in very high places.
Zakoukal se do ní, jak se říkalo, I Adolf Hitler.
Hitler became infatuated with her, it is said. But this only lasted for a short while, and their relationship remained platonic. But it was Josef Goebbels, Hitler's second-in-command, who fell head over heels in love with her and became her lover. He was completely obsessed with her and willing to leave his wife, his family, for her. And as she herself admitted in her memoirs, before she got spooked and started revising them, she herself said that she was enchanted by him. He may have been a bad person, but as a young girl, she saw him as a powerful minister in a foreign government and a charming man.
velmi šarmantní muž.
Legend surrounds Lida Barova, perhaps not helped by the fact that she published two contradictory sets of memoirs during her life. She told one biographer that Froelich slapped Goebbels in a fight over her. She told another that Froelich slapped her when he found out about Goebbels. In recent years, a third biography has come out. It was written by her friend Stanislav Motl.
Until the end of her life, this was her biggest trauma. Until the end of her life, she was completely unable to say in public how it actually was with Goebbels. She battled with it within herself. She was never able to say that she had loved him in some way or another. And so she had excuses. She said that she was scared of Goebbels. Then another time she said that she had been naive. And then the third thing she said in one of her memoirs was that she loved his love for her.
Someone who didn't love Goebbels' love for Barova was the Nazi commander's wife. Here's Eva Urbanova.
Jejich vztah byl takovým skandálem, že ona v podstatě...
Their relationship caused such a scandal that she was banned from starring in any more German films. Her career there was over. She was banned from appearing at the request of Goebbels' wife, who was a good friend of Hitler. She went to Hitler and told him that her husband had gone half crazy over some Czech actress, and Hitler put a very quick stop to it. Lida Barová came back to Prague.
Lida Barová se vrátila do Čech.
Barová was jailed for a year and a half after the war for having collaborated with the Nazis. Her sister, who was also an actress, was blacklisted because of Lida and subsequently committed suicide. The girl's mother was also taken in for interrogation, where she suffered a heart attack and died. Upon release from prison, with very few remaining relatives in what was then Czechoslovakia, Barová emigrated to Austria, where she remained for the rest of her life. She returned to the Czech Republic on several occasions after the Velvet Revolution in 1989, and those who met her often talked of her as a chain-smoking, rather sad and very pretty old woman. Stanislav Motl was one of the people she visited.
There are still a lot of myths about Lida Barová doing the rounds. When she died in 2000, the Czech Culture Ministry refused to put any flowers on her grave, and I asked why. And one high-ranking official from the ministry said, well, she was a collaborator. And so, of course, I asked, do you have any proof of this? To which he said, well, that's what people say. She'll never be as popular as actresses like Adina Mandlova or Natasha Golova, because she'll always have a stain upon her name. But on the other hand, I do a lot of lectures about her and show a lot of her films to students, and these young people of about 20 or 30 years of age, they're more sympathetic. They understand.
The writer Stanislav Motl, ending that edition of Czechs in History by Rosie Johnston.